WDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Water rescues continuing in Central Florida. Governor Ron DeSantis says due to ongoing flooding from Milton, the hurricane slammed into Florida's west coast and swept across the state. St. Pete resident Larry Hicks says his neighborhood is flooded and he's been seeing rescue crews and rescue vehicles all day long.
This is awful. And it's out here, it's everywhere. It's not only here in this community, it's everywhere.
DeSantis says they're working to assess the damage and federal aid needs. President Biden says initial disaster relief is available, but calling on Congress to return for an emergency session to approve more funding for longer-term recovery. Israel's prime minister meeting with his security cabinet tonight, still weighing options on its response to Iran's missile strikes last week. Israel's military carrying out more strikes in Beirut, targeting Hezbollah. Consumer prices were up 2.4% in September from last year, but at their lowest since February 2021. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Biden administration is announcing plans to invest almost $93 million to create jobs and reduce energy costs in rural Wisconsin. The USDA's Julie Lassa says the money will go directly to farmers, business owners, and power cooperatives. Biden was in Wisconsin last month to talk up his administration's rural energy initiatives. The Wisconsin Supreme Court is considering the governor's expansive partial veto power. The high court heard oral arguments yesterday over Governor Evers' veto last year that increased public school spending for 400 years. Justice Jill Karofsky.
This does concern me where we have a legal scholar and he's looking at all 50 states and he's saying, Wisconsin, we don't think you're doing this right. There ought to be some limitations.
The court will hand down a written ruling in a few months. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home. A Dane County judge is the subject of a misconduct complaint. The Wisconsin Judicial Commission says it's found a probable cause that Judge Ellen Burrs got into an argument with one defendant and tried to arrest another defendant who didn't show up in court. Wisconsin Supreme Court rules hold judges to a high standard of professional conduct. The commission wants the state appeals court to hold a disciplinary hearing. Burrs could be removed from the bench. One of the people from Wisconsin helping with Hurricane Milton relief in Florida is ham radio operator Dan Van Evenhoven. He has the know-how to help survivors send text messages when they normally couldn't.
Say your phone doesn't work and you've got relatives out in San Diego. You know, you want to get a hold of them and just tell them, hey, I'm okay, you know, but no way to get a hold of them. That's where we come in.
Van Evenhoven says he's helped survivors of Hurricane Katrina and Helene. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell for Savannah Tome Olson, and this is WMDX News.
It's the Bucks and the Lakers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks host the Los Angeles Lakers tonight in a preseason matchup. At practice yesterday, head coach Doc Rivers discussed how he's teaching some of the new Bucks players how to read opposing defenses.
I'm trying to get them to see the reads, the typical basketball reads, because the more you can do that, you can literally put all kinds of things in, and then your offense becomes dynamic.
NFL Packers nearly all back at practice yesterday as they play the Cardinals Sunday. The only player out, defensive lineman Devontae Wyatt, with an ankle injury. Romeo Doubs was back but did not speak to reporters. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers getting ready to play Rutgers. Quarterback Braden Locke asked, how much do they adjust the game plan for Rutgers' tough defense?
Yes, I think you game plan it differently, but it's still our offense. It's still doing things within what we do. We're not trying to reinvent the wheel over here. You know, we're going to do what we do and take advantage of, you know, what I'm good at and what I can process and all that.
That's Badgers quarterback Braden Locke. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
A gorgeous day today under sunny skies. High temperatures reach the low 70s. With clear skies tonight, we'll fall to near 50. And for tomorrow, we continue to stay unseasonably warm and spike to 80 degrees. It'll be bright, it'll be beautiful, and it'll be summery. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 71 degrees.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Congresswoman Summer Lee.
The American Stability Act doesn't just address the need for raising of the wage. The second thing is that tax reform piece, shifting the burden from the folks who are working class to the not just the 1%, the 0.01% of people who have seen so many benefits in this rigged system, and we have to start to unrig it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Wisconsin native writer-director Steve Burrows, who makes our popcorn pick of the week, UP comedian Jessica Phillips, and Oswang director Barry Polterman.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX. Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
Hey, and welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy Thursday to us all. You can be a part of this fine production anytime on the lines. Talk or text 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Just working hard on the board, on the cuts. For you, got a big show planned for you today. We're juggling some things around, so here is the lineup as it stands. 4 o'clock hour, baby. It's you and me,
Jess,
and our fair audience. We'll get some updates on the storm and some philosophical discussions, perhaps.
Excellent.
In the 5 o'clock hour, super jazzed to have Dr. Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy from UW Green Bay, one of my favorite socialists. He's going to come around
He's a good dude.
And update us on his musings at 5 o'clock. And another crowd favorite, John Nichols from The Nation, from the Cap Times, author of the book, It's Okay to Be Angry About Capitalism. I think he did that one with Senator Bernie Sanders. John will be here at 5:30. Have a couple of pieces out there that I called him about. Well, specifically, that VP Harris has more in common with Lincoln Republicans than you might think. And also, he wrote a piece yesterday at The Nation that Donald Trump is running scared. He is a scaredy cat, not going to the 60 Minutes, not doing the hard interviews, going to the softballs, and, you know, just kind of being Donald Trump. He's running scared, according to John Nichols. He'll explain more at 5:30 today. So if you want to be part, you're going to have to join in this hour. Once again, 855-752-4842. The latest updates that I'm seeing regarding the storm in Florida, according to the Washington Post, as of Thursday afternoon, officials said at least 11 people had died across Florida during the storm. They also indicate that number could change as rescue crews fan out across the state. And apparently, five of those deaths were the result of tornadoes Milton spawned Wednesday before making landfall. Two tornadoes struck St. Lucie on Florida's central Atlantic coast, county officials said Thursday. Homes and buildings suffer significant damage across the country and in the city of Port St. Lucie, home to about 230,000 people, about 30 miles north of West Palm Beach. Officials in Volusia County said that four people there died during the storm. A 79-year-old woman and a 54-year-old woman in Port Orange died after trees brought down by Milton's high winds fell on their homes. Officials said one person appeared to have a medical emergency while boarding up their property. Another suffered a cardiac arrest during the storm. The storm, that's the human cost, the human toll as we know it, and presumably some of those numbers, unfortunately, will probably increase as emergency crews get out and get to see more folks. I've mentioned on the show before, I traveled as a kid to vacation, to holiday, down in Sarasota. Man, I love Sarasota. Went down there probably as a early teenager with my parents, and we'd make this trip, and we'd stay in Sarasota. We'd go to Siesta Key Beach, which is my favorite beach, that white powder sand. It doesn't matter how hot it is outside, That sand is cool. Never burns the feet. Man, it is something. That hole from Naples to Sarasota all the way up to Clearwater and Tampa, that stuff is amazing. It is really, really beautiful. Really, really great place to visit, you know? And so it's heartbreaking to hear the stories that are down there. Again, I have family that are down there. My uncle and his crew drove up to Pensacola, an 8-hour drive that took them about 15 hours dealing with all these circumstances. The other folks had to hunker down, shelter in place. Apparently, the eye rolled in just south of Siesta Key Beach. So this is where, man, this is where I went to go in the winter times, man, to warm up. And it's heartbreaking to see some of the pictures and some of the damage. Now, apparently, it could have been obviously a whole lot worse. Could always be worse, right? Could always be worse. But this is where we're at right now. You know, the state of Florida, this is the second hurricane in a couple of weeks, and this has been very active, to my understanding, compared to other years. And we're not done yet. We're not done yet. We do have some sound of, I believe, the governor of the great state of Florida, DeSantis. And what is the sound? When is this from? When is this dated from?
Well, we have some sound from last night as the initial storm was coming in. We have a press conference that he did just to sort of set up, say, these are the facilities, the resources that we have available.
All right, let's get a little flavor of what the governor was telling folks, and we'll update you as we go further in the show. Go ahead.
Sure.
Folks here at the EOC and our first responders throughout the west coast of Florida have been working nonstop now for weeks to prepare and respond to Hurricane
Helene. A lot of preparation.
And then now to prepare and respond to this new major hurricane. The common virtue has been dedication. Dedication to the task at hand, dedication to responding to help our fellow Floridians in danger, and dedication to ensuring that Florida weathers this storm and emerges stronger on the other side. We are prepared and we will respond. I've spoken to the president. We remain in regular contact with FEMA.
Yeah.
FEMA?
And we are marshaling all available resources to be able to prepare and respond to Hurricane Milton. I also want to thank the 20 other states who are assisting Florida ahead of the storm. This is just what we as Americans do. We've had opportunities to help other states in the past, including most recently in Western North Carolina. And I think it shows the spirit that these states are stepping up and providing really valued support.
And I have, honestly, at this point, I have no objections to anything DeSantis has said.
That's the first time that I've listened to Ron DeSantis and said, yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
That's
there
good.
We go.
Good. Good.
Good stuff.
Good governance, sir.
Yep.
Let's keep going a little bit. Again, this is prior to the storm rolling in. Let's play the next cut.
Mm-hmm.
We have also worked with the utilities to have the largest staging of utility workers in linemen in advance of the storm any time in American history. We will have in Florida, by the time the storm arises, over 50,000 linemen. And those linemen are being brought in from places as far away as California. So as soon as that storm passes, you're going to see the assessments and the power restoration efforts commence immediately.
Now, my understanding as of this moment, there are still about 3 million households and businesses without power. Mm-hmm. DeSantis this afternoon indicated about 800,000 customers came back online. And again, those are households and businesses. There could be more people in the households, right?
A lot
more people could be impacted by it. But also, you know, the businesses, does that count, you know, on the households as well? Anyway, those are the numbers. A lot of work to do. 50,000 linemen coming in from all over the country. Let's hear more of DeSantis prepping everybody for the storm. Cut three, please.
This one's actually from this morning.
Okay.
With the storm has now come in, and he's giving another press conference and talking about some resources that are now available and that he's going to make sure stay available.
We are extending the Hope Florida line for another 2 weeks at 24 hours, 7 days a week.
Huh?
So if you need assistance or resources post-storm, you can call 1-833-GET-HOPE, 1-833-GET-HOPE. Hope Florida's disaster arm, Activate Hope, is a program designed to help people find help following a disaster such as a hurricane.
Now, that's interesting.
Isn't it?
And Jess, I was not aware of the... And when I heard this, it sounded like a sales pitch to me.
Mm-hmm.
And now I know why.
Now you know why.
Why don't you tell the audience?
Well, see, this is a project of Ron's wife, the First Lady of Florida. She is the founder and operator of Hope Florida. It is an umbrella organization that gathers together all of the resources that are available to people in times of crises. These include both the public and private sector resources, brings them all together. So someone needs help, they can go to this as like a one-stop shop. Now that sounds an awful lot like what a government response is. It's an umbrella. It brings all of these organizations, all of these people together and helps them to communicate. Now, the problem here is it's not one organization. It is many organizations that this is just sort of a central portal.
A central hub, for example.
A central hub, yes.
For private and public resources.
Correct.
Started by his wife.
Started by his wife.
Okay, gotcha.
Yes.
All right, well, that, you know, we do need efficiencies.
We
and
do
however
need efficiencies.
We can get those as long as we're not taking, you know, 8-12% off the top, I guess.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm okay with that. But let's hear a little bit more from this morning. This is the emergency officials?
This is from, yes, there were a couple emergency responders talking about what their organizations are doing.
All right, let's play that.
Throughout the night and this morning, our special missions unit with search and rescue, K-9, paramedic, and swift water rescue teams moved throughout the most severely impacted areas between Pasco and Sarasota counties, working with local authorities to provide on-water and overland search and rescue and route assessment capabilities.
My understanding, the storm surge in Sarasota, about 10 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And that was about the worst of it. And again, Tampa spared what could have been a much worse storm. A couple more, I believe. This will wrap it up from this morning, if you would please, Jess.
Mm-hmm.
Responding to hurricanes and natural disasters is what we do. As FWC officers, we have unique equipment, training, and support from Governor DeSantis and Director Guthrie to be able to provide immediate support in the wake of natural disasters and hurricanes.
Now, when I was listening to this cat, man, I mean, he loves his job. And if you're in this line of work, you do love it. You love your neighbors. You love the excitement. You love helping people. I can absolutely appreciate that. But you also love the equipment, man. They love,
oh, yeah.
They
I mean,
love
they got lots
the, of toys. Having the proper tools for the job. It's very important. One more if we could squeeze it in, please.
We don't quite have time for it. And the sound quality, unfortunately, these people, they're not radio personalities.
All right. Well, anyway, we got a little flavor, and this is from this morning. Again, there has been a more press conference from this afternoon. Don't have that, but I'll just tell you this. It's kind of the same flavor. He also did, during the earlier press conference this morning and this afternoon, talk about the $50,000 or up to $150,000 in loans offered by the SBA. They gave out numbers for that. Lots of resources, lots of actual governance and communication from DeSantis.
Amazing.
And the team in Florida reacting as they should, as a community, as a government, as private and public individuals coming together during a disaster. But I will throw this out there as well. Seems really socialistic.
Seems
to me.
A little bit like they're a...
Everybody you heard are all getting paid by the public taxpayers.
Mm-hmm.
All those machines they were talking about. All the effort. That's socialism? Let's talk about socialism. 855-752-4842.
A voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
Sweet chocolate reward. Sweet chocolate reward.
This is not just the sound of someone picking up a sweet treat at Walgreens. This is the sound of someone picking up a sweet treat right after receiving all their vaccines in one trip. This is the sound of treating yourself because you protected yourself.
Stop by or schedule both your flu and COVID-19 vaccines today and grab yourself a sweet treat while you're at it. Vaccine subject to availability. State, age, and health-related restrictions may apply.
Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. It's worth a look. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
Farmers in Wisconsin have always been ahead of the times, and it's no different in the mid-1800s. George Esterly was running a large wheat farm outside of Whitewater, but reaping his crop by hand was back-breaking work. Esterly invented a mechanical harvesting machine and used it in his own fields in 1844. He then won a Chicago Mechanics Gold Medal 4 years later. But was he the first in the country to build a harvesting machine? The answer is coming up. Esterly followed up his win by opening a factory in the Whitewater area, building the harvesting machines and eventually other farm equipment too. By the 1880s, 500 people worked there. So was Esterly the first in the country to build a new mechanical harvesting machine? Yes, this man's early farm invention lives on as a remarkable slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Back to the Dom Salvia Show. Phone lines open 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. It is a phone line, it is a text line, and we will get to all of them. We're talking about the hurricane relief efforts going on in Florida. And we played some sound of last night and earlier this morning, and DeSantis had another conference, a press conference this afternoon, talking about what's available, who's doing what, what's going on in the current circumstances on the ground in Florida. Thanking and talking. Yes, we've spoken to Joe Biden. We have resources from FEMA, the locals. They're doing everything they can. They got lots of cool equipment. Hopefully people, you know, aren't wandering around. Don't go in the water and tread the water, because there could be power lines underneath. There could be alligators, other things of that nature. So be careful. And wait for help to come. Help is on the way, according to Governor Ron DeSantis. And as I think about this, and we talk, you know, where are we at in this country, and the way that the megas talk about all the socialist, Marxist, communist, you know, whatever. And I want to talk a little bit about that socialism, because I think, and I'll reference a Daily Coast piece I found. This is going dating back to 2012. I kept this one in my back pocket because it's an evergreen. 75 ways socialism has improved America. Now, it's just a blog piece. You can take it for what you want. But let me dive in a little bit. Then I'm going to get your reaction. Because I believe those megas, they love socialism. They use it every day and may not even know it. It may have even saved your life. I know this is bad, but relax, take a breath. It's going to be okay. We're going to get through this. You see, we're still a capitalist nation. In America, you can still make $1 billion, get a giant tax cut, pay your employees barely enough to survive while you sail on your yacht to escape any guilt that might inconvenience you. Don't freak out just yet. The thing is, socialism is all over America, and people actually like it. Even you, Mega.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, you, Ron DeSantis. Now, I know, conservative believes in freedom and the Constitution. You hate handouts and believe that in hard work and the individual. You think government should get out of the way and let you live your lives and allow you to prosper on your own. You know that all rich people must work hard and all poor people are lazy. There's no other reason why they could be poor, considering life is completely fair and all people are born into situations and environments that allow them to have all the opportunities and blessings that you had. There is no fathomable way they could have two or three jobs they work very hard at and still not make ends meet. You, megas, you got it all figured out.
Yeah.
But still, even you get your kicks from a little socialism every now and then.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. It's true. Now, don't think of this as an intervention. Think of it as coming out of the closet party. We know you're a closet socialist. That's okay. You're amongst friends. We support you. Besides, we always knew. Socialism is taxpayer funds being used collectively to benefit society as a whole, despite income, contribution, or ability.
Oh, boy.
Sounds radical, right? Crazy. Well, I hate to be the one to tell you, but socialism, which you have been told to fear all your life, is responsible for all of this. Mm. And now we have a list. And I love a list. And I'm not going to go
delightful
through all 75, but there are some that I think are fairly relevant.
Give us the highlights. Yeah. Give us the highlights.
Now, number one, military defense. I mean, that's a no-brainer, right? But that is the largest and most funded socialist program in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one. Number two, highways and roads.
Yeah.
The highways and roads in Florida are all flooded. Some are going to have to get redone. What else could possibly be out there? Oh, the police and the fire department.
Indeed.
Again, paid for by taxpayer dollars. They're putting their lives on the line, you know, trying to help that guy who hopefully made it through when he stayed on his sailboat and tried to ride out the storm. But some folks, maybe they couldn't get out. Well, the fire, the police, the EMTs, all those folks, they're paid for with public tax dollars. Of course, the Postal Service, another one. Here's one. Bridges. Along with our highways, our government used your taxpayer dollars to build bridges. This allows you to travel across rivers without having to sail or swim. Most
Thank
people
goodness.
Like, and if you are familiar with Florida, familiar with Siesta Key and Longboat Key and all the different keys down there, there's lots and lots of bridges. Apparently, a lot of effort. Hundreds of bridge inspectors, my understanding, out there on the job right now.
Yeah, you build an estate in the swamp, you're going to need a lot of bridges.
You're
going to
need them. You're going to need them. And oh, yeah, how are those folks getting paid? Well, if they're doing work for the government, well, they're probably getting paid by the government, even if they're employed by a private sector firm. Oh, we got the CIA, the FBI. Those don't really apply. Let's see. What else could possibly, well, museums. There's lots of museums. Now, some are private, some are public. The VA, you know, that's another one. Very important. Public parks. Florida's beautiful. They got lots of parks down there. Again, paid for by the public dollars, paid for by socialism. The sewer system. One of the problems, perhaps, all that water coming in. What happened? All that sewage. Well, you could have some damage to the sewer system. You like having that? You want to prevent pollution and disease from seeping into our environment? Thank you, taxpayers of America. You know, in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, it was the sewer socialists back in the day. They wanted to. And who has the money to put an entire sewer system in?
Right. Who wants to be in charge of managing all of their own waste?
Nobody could pay for it. That's why it's socialism. So as we continue, town and state-run beaches. You like going to the beach? You like it when the beach is safe and clean, like lifeguards and keeping the glass off, the partiers out?
Yeah.
Well, that presumably a lot of that's going to be paid for by your tax dollars. State construction, unemployment insurance. Well, some folks are going to be unemployed through this, or at least temporarily, depends on what kind of businesses were shuttered or what kind of damage there is. Unemployment insurance, state construction. Of course, there's going to be a lot of construction after two hurricanes rolling through Florida. Welfare, public street lighting. I saw some of those street lamps in Florida.
Oh, yeah.
Waving around. It was crazy that they're even still on. Oh, and here's the one, number 53, FEMA. If disaster strikes, FEMA is there to help pick up the pieces. As a part of Homeland Security and an agency of the federal government, they use taxpayer dollars to help cities, states, and towns recover and rebuild. I don't know many private companies that could assist in disaster relief and ask for nothing in return. Thank God for socialism. Now, there's more, but I think you kind of get the hint. So when you hear people like DeSantis and these EMTs, just remember, they're espousing socialism. 855-75-CIVIC.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A record high number of adults with disabilities have jobs in Wisconsin, more than 178,000 as of last year. Melinda Craig is a disability employment specialist. She says workers with disabilities seem to have better luck finding jobs with small businesses.
We do find that it's a little more difficult to connect with those bigger companies to encourage them to hire individuals with disabilities.
October is National Disability Employment Awareness Month. The mice are so bad right now on Rock Island State Park off the tip of Door County that the remote spot is now closed to camping for the rest of the season. A massive infestation is reportedly chewing through tents, shoes, and even plastic storage bins. DNR wardens suspect mild weather last winter helped the mouse population on the island explode. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home. A Baraboo man is under arrest for a hit-and-run crash that killed a bicyclist near Baraboo the other night. Sauk County deputies say 61-year-old Kristen Harding of Baraboo was thrown from her bike and into a ditch, but the driver of the SUV kept going. Harding was well-known in Baraboo, especially for her multiple sclerosis advocacy. The 31-year-old suspect faces charges of hit-and-run causing death and other counts. Police in Sun Prairie are looking into vandalism at the city's Little League Park this week. Investigators say it looks like the damage happened sometime Monday night or early Tuesday morning. Freshly poured concrete at the park on Bird Street was damaged. Police also say they found graffiti and other property damage. Anyone who knows anything is urged to call the Sun Prairie Police Department's non-emergency number. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell for Savannah Tomei Olson, and this is WMDX News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. Grief can affect people in different ways. When Lisa Marie Presley lost her only son, Benjamin, in 2020, she literally could not say goodbye. CNN Entertainment reports that Lisa Marie, Elvis's only child, kept her son's body at home for 2 months after his death. Presley's memoir, From Here to the Great Unknown, was published posthumously. Lisa Marie passed away in January of 2023. Her memoir was completed by her daughter, actress Riley Keough, who used tapes that her mother had made to complete the work. Keough says there are no laws in the state of California that state a body needs to be buried immediately, so they kept Benjamin's body on ice in a room where the temperature had to be 55 degrees. She also says that Lisa Marie wanted to do this because Elvis's body was kept at their home after he died of a heart attack when he was 42, which allowed Lisa Marie to take her time and say a proper goodbye. Lisa Marie Presley and Benjamin Presley were both buried with Elvis at Graceland Cemetery. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy and a low near 50 tonight. Mostly sunny and still mild tomorrow, high into the low 80s. A few more clouds around on Saturday and Sunday, maybe a shower or two. High in the mid-60s Saturday, breezy, cooler, and near 60 on Sunday. It's 71 right now.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. It'll be a fantastic TGIF Friday. Brady Ewing and Peter Rapine with a week in review. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
On
until I should die, until I should break. Not a god, not a devil my soul shall take. If I should lie to betray myself, then I would damn myself and my soul forsake. I don't want 15 minutes, want a whole lot more. Don't want to suffer the fools and the spoils of war. I don't want 15 minutes or a reason why. I want a stainless steel road stretching off to the sky.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We'll get to the callers in just a moment. We're talking about the impact of socialism and how great it is for Florida right now. How Ron DeSantis is espousing the value of socialism.
Of course, as he should.
As he should. Ron DeSantis himself, a member of the Florida government. How do you think Ron DeSantis gets paid? By the taxpayers.
Mm-hmm.
When Ron DeSantis, when we played that clip thanking those 20 other states who have so graciously stepped up with assistance in many regards, some of these 50,000 line workers coming as far away from as California to help assist in the rebuilding efforts in Florida. Well, what are states? States are government, right? Every single day, government on state and local levels serve us in ways we simply take for granted. Government as an entity operates and functions on our tax dollars through a socialist structured funding system. From the military down to the county dog catcher, socialism turns the wheels that makes our society function. Those other states, they wouldn't exist without your taxpayer dollars, our taxpayer dollars, without us, we the people. Us, we the people. I mean, it says it right in the, it says it. It's just like, it's all not a bunch of socialists.
Right.
There is no I in we.
Sure. There we go.
So there, but there isn't win, baby. 855-752-4842. I think you get my point. And what bothers me is it's hard to refute what I'm telling you. And if you can, please let me know. Tell me. Because it sounds like a guy getting paid by taxpayer dollars, espousing the cooperation of other states paid by the taxpayer dollars, telling and updating the efforts of search and rescue folks paid by taxpayer dollars, going driving over roads paid by taxpayer dollars to help probably a lot of older people paid by taxpayer dollars and Medicaid or Medicare, and perhaps some people who are a little harder off on Medicaid. You see what I'm saying? Everywhere you look, in every circumstance, here we the people are. And when it becomes the political silly season, though, oh, it's communism, Comrade Kamala, and all this stuff. But every one of them. I mean, how many of the hard right mega, full on individualist, rugged individualism didn't cash your PPP check? How many people sent it back? How many people donate? I think you could donate it to your taxes. Like, I don't want to just give it back. How many folks did that? And I know a lot of conservatives. And I know some that are a little kind of greedy. You know, some of those folks that be like, well, if it's free, it's for me and I'll take three. I mean, I get that. But when you cast those checks, you're engaging in it, man. You're part of it. I mean, that also, and I think it was much needed. I'm not knocking it. I did too. There was enhanced unemployment. Yeah, a lot of folks took advantage because we couldn't go to work. There was no work. Unemployment, boom. Lots of businesses failed. You got to deal as a society, as an emergency response to a pandemic. You deal with it as a whole, not as one individual. And we are bombarded constantly by quote-unquote emergencies. And some things are certainly less than life-threatening and catastrophic, but still need the efforts of a united and combined people, we the people. So it's so, to me, disingenuous when we hear the megas and not DeSantis today. DeSantis was saying all the right things yesterday and today. As far as I'm concerned, tell me I'm wrong. I thought those were appropriate words.
Absolutely.
I just wonder if he appreciates from whence they came and what they mean and what the implication is. You are, sir. Your existence in the governor's house in Florida is because of the taxpayers and because of the citizens, because of we the people.
Mm-hmm.
855-752-4842. Let's get some other ideas in here. Karina from the MKE, you are next. Welcome, Karina. What do you got for us?
Thanks, Mom. You're absolutely right. And I want to give a listener an example, because with the social, you know that in the 70s, the Wisconsin state had actually a lot of socialists in the government.
Yeah.
And before the Crow started. And that's the reason we have so many so much of Wisconsin land is preserved. There are so many parks.
Yep.
There are so many museums. There were, until the last two decades, there were no problem with the daycare. No problem with the education until the workers screwed it up, okay? And all that was established by the party, which included a lot of socialism. And I give you a very good example, which we have a problem with. When in the late 60s and the beginning of 70s, like you said, sewage, city water, and everything was established on our money by the socialistic formula. Then in the end of 70s, beginning of 80s, in Milwaukee, we had a mayor who owned a lead factory. And he decided to gain some money, which is not socialistic, and replace the whole thing. And now we have to invest $2.6 billion in replacing it.
Right.
So tell me that the problem is with that.
Well, anytime you have a pot of money, Karina, you're going to have, you know, folks that want a piece of that, certainly. Thank you for the call. Good points, all of them. 855-752-4842. And the private voucher school system thing that started here in Milwaukee and it has expanded is now basically an unfunded mandate for two parallel education systems in the state of Wisconsin. Only one of them will groom the children to believe that, I don't know, the earth's 6,000 years old. If you don't believe what they believe, you're going to, you know, spend eternity in hellfire, which is a nice thing to tell a 6-year-old. But I digress. Those folks are taking the taxpayer dollars and directing them. The parents direct them to these schools of indoctrination. So call it what you will. They're still, and maybe the tithing is down. They needed some sort of subsidy. So here come the school vouchers. And that's still taxpayer dollars at the end of the day. 855-752-4842. Matt from Middleton, Wisconsin. You're next. Welcome, Matt. What do you got for us?
Hey, Don, good show. I'm missing Kroot, but that's all right. I just wanted to mention that all developed countries that have half a brain in any sense at all use some socialism because it's necessary. And also the fact that conservatives are very good at scaring people, yeah, much like they did with marijuana and reefer madness back in the 50s. They did the same thing with socialism. And if you look at happiness reports and people feeling like their government serves them, it's the European countries that are more democratic socialist, which is a mix of capitalism and socialism.
Yeah.
That's where people are happiest and most confident in government. Because here in America, a lot of people are angry all the time because they don't feel like their tax money is used to serve them or their communities because of the hard line of conservatives where, you know, they want to kill the public sector, especially under MAGA. And Project 25, they want to get rid of all of it. But I just want to bring that point,
yeah,
and that socialism has never functioned as a system in any country throughout history because the people that run those countries are always Trump. You know, it's always people like Trump.
It is difficult. It is wanting. And if you talk about what happiness is and you look at the European nations, certainly, you know, they score higher, right? If we talk about Bernie Sanders, you know, he espouses that democratic socialism. Our guest at 5 o'clock, if you stick around long enough to the top of the hour, Dr. Harvey Kay, professor emeritus of democracy from UW Green Bay. He's a big fan of the FDR, man. The economic bill of rights and using the government in those ways to for the people. And I would suggest that a government that works for the most people will be the most appreciated. I think to your point, one of the reasons that people feel that way, they feel disconnected. They feel like the government doesn't, quote unquote, work for them. Because, you know, everyone's doing their 9 to 5, raising the kids or taking care of the older parents and, you know, jumping from one foot to the other, trying to get through the day. You know, unless you can, you know, spend some money on some donations and you know, go down to the Capitol and hang out with the legislators or the lobbyists, or you're in the in and in the know. You know, a lot of people kind of feel like, well, maybe it's not responsive to me. And what makes government responsive to you, individual people? Well, of course, your engagement in it. That's the big secret. So when people are disenfranchised, and not just, you know, having difficulty voting, but like all both sides do it, or everybody sucks, and we're all going to die. I mean, those kinds of attitudes, and I know I say those things sometimes as a joke, but those attitudes can be prevalent, and they're certainly, they're not helpful. They're not healthy. It's up to us, every one of us. You want a more reactive, responsive, appropriate government than get involved and you know, call strikes when you see them. 855-752-4842. I think we got time for LA Tom. We the people, Tom. Welcome. What do you got, man?
We the people ultimately are the government, Dom. That's just the way it is.
You know it, baby.
Each person giving a little bit makes up for a lot, just like the Hoover Dam, just like lots of other things. But one thing I would say is I like the word social democracy better than democratic socialism, because the whole point is that we the people, and in our form of government, we're not looking to run the, you know, the government to tell us, you know, where we buy our tennis shoes.
Right. The means of production and distribution is not something we want the government to be doing, right?
Exactly. But things that are natural monopolies, such as roads and bridges and things like schools.
Oh, sorry. I think we lost you there, Tom. Yes, they'll say, but, and again, even with that, and it's not to say there's not corruption or inefficiencies. Of course there are. Come on.
Look, dumb. We are a flawed species.
Yeah, right. As soon as you get two people in a room, man, someone's going to be trying to get a little more.
Uh-huh.
And so if we accept that, I don't know what I'll call it, human nature, competitive nature. If we try to work a government around our basic human nature and instincts, I think that's what's most effective. Yeah, some people want to do their own thing. Totally understand that. But we also, at the same time, no. What did Kamala say about her mom? Where you just first one to fall out of the coconut tree, right? I mean, this is whether you want it or not. As soon as you're brought into this world, it's you and your mama. If nothing else, there's two of you. It ain't you. And the fact that she didn't drown you in the bathtub for being a crappy kid. Thanks, Mom.
Were you reminded of that, yeah, that you were not drowned in the bathtub when your mom like had to pick you up by the scruff?
No, but my uncle, and I love my uncle, who he was the one who had to drive from Sarasota to Pensacola to get away from the storm. We were texting last night. His famous saying to me when we were still kids, and I got the cutest picture. I just came across it the other day of me, and I was just a little tyke, and he must have been early 20s. And we're floating in my Aunt Jenny's pool, and he went on a tube, and I'm on his lap, and I just loved him, man. He was the best. What a role model, you know, younger uncle, you know. So much fun. But he always used to tell me, it's never too late for an abortion. So, you know, that kind of stuck with me over the years. So, yes, I want to be clear to everyone. I believe there is too late. Now, at 53 years old, Uncle, it is too late for an abortion. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. We're going to get to some more of your calls before our favorite FDR guest, Dr. Harvey Kay from the UWGB, Professor Emeritus of Democracy. He's going to get caught up with us. We'll talk about these issues and many more, plus your calls. Once again, 855-75-CIVIC.
Yeah. This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action, www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Tons of glass artists share the same passion for eye-catching art as Ignite Glass and Gifts, so we're showcasing their work alongside our talented local artists and our in-house Ignite artists. The latest techniques, the hottest colors, and mind-blowing designs are here for you to enjoy. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts. Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and Odana Road, plus IgniteGlassandGifts.com. Do your eyes a favor and see this stuff.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
A voice for Madison, real news and great conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
To the Dom Salvi Show, 855-752-4842. It is a phone line. It is a text line. Callers, be patient. We will get you. I want to read some of the texts. Eric from Madison says, hey, those who complain about socialism should be challenged to define it. They won't because they can't. You know, that's a great point, Eric. It's when I get into these kinds of passionate philosophical discussions with folks. Sometimes you got to like, okay, what does the word mean? Let's agree. Let's get real down to nuts and bolts. Let's agree on what the definitions are, and then we can kind of go from there.
It's important to set those baselines. People will try to come at you with, oh, that's communism. Oh, that's socialism. And then it's like, okay. All right. Explain it to me like I'm a second grader.
Exactly,
what does it mean? What does it mean?
Exactly. Let's see. Bill has a good point from Green Bay. Thank you for the list. This was something I found on the Daily Coast a while back, 75 ways socialism has improved America. Bill says, thanks for sharing. I work for the Postal Service and just wanted to let you know we do not take taxpayer dollars. We are self-sufficient. Minor detail. Love the new show. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate that. You're absolutely right. But I did see this when I was reading it, and I would articulate specifically since the post office is defined as in the Constitution, I would still put it as a socialist-ish thing. Now, the funding of it, great point. You're absolutely right. Appreciate your point. Appreciate you doing the mail all the time. I talk about some hardworking folks. These damn socialists, says Steady Eddie. By the way, keep your dirty hands off my Social Security and Medicare. I remember some crazy, crazy signs from the Tea Party. It's like, I don't know if you quite get it.
No.
What else do we have here? Once again, 855-75-CIVIC. Tom's a very proud FDR Democrat. Yeah, man. And so is Harvey K. He'll be coming at the top of the hour. But let's get some of your calls in. Let's see. Looks like Doogie from Chi-Town, you're up. Hey, man, I see the Bears are playing like 8:30 in the morning on Sunday. You going to get up and watch that game?
Side note, I, after 39 years, I'm no longer a Bears fan.
Oh, excellent. I mean, I'm sorry
glad to hear
that.
You're recovering.
So you went on to the Lions. Welcome. We need all the fans we can get. No, who are you liking these days, Doogie?
I am Team Justin Fields, and that's all I have to say.
All right, man. What do you got?
They really divided us in that disorganization. Anyway.
I mean, he's no Jay Cutler, but, you know, we'll do what we can.
You know, they purposely sabotaged him. That's our take, and that's a lot of our take. So,
was that Jay Cutler or Fields?
No, Fields.
Fields, okay.
The management. They didn't build around him.
Sexy
anyway,
Rexy Grossman got you to the Super Bowl, man.
So, let's see.
Yeah, all right. Politics, Doogie, politics.
Politics. So, two things I picked up on of those couple sound bites that you played from Ron Death sentence.
Yeah.
One thing he said, it was really strange. It was very weird. It was very Trumpy. He was saying that we have the biggest amount of linemen coming to restore our power. We have the biggest amount ever. Like that's like crowd size.
Yeah.
Who says that?
Yeah, it was a little strange.
The biggest amount of linemen coming, especially from California, which is a blue state. So thank you, blue state California, for helping Florida. And the other thing was, notice he said the states are coming and the states are helping us. And that's what Americans do. He never said one thing about federal aid, federal funding.
He did say he did briefly mention FEMA about in the same breath. He said, we talked to the President Joe Biden. We've talked to FEMA. And then he moved on from there and talked about, you know, certainly the state efforts, which, of course, he's the governor of. And he's very, very proud, as are all the folks with their awesome, fancy trucks and, you know, the equipment you need to do the job to save people when hurricanes. I get that. But those are all paid for by your tax dollars. Just saying. 855-752-4842. Cindy from Appleton, my old stomping grounds. Welcome, Cindy. What do you got for us?
Well, I'm just wondering how this whole issue is going to work when if that idiot moron criminal Solomon gets elected again and Project 2025 decides to defund all public schools. Does that mean the socialistic program for the voucher system is going to go away as well?
Interesting.
Or is it going to affect the public schools?
That's an interesting thought, Cindy. Hadn't gotten through that. Of course, as soon as you say if he gets elected again, I kind of blank out and I don't want to think about that.
Yeah, there's a bit of a trauma response that happens.
Good point. You would think. Now, my understanding, they would probably do something because you still got to fund. The money's still got to flow. If it's not through the Department of Education, there's state grants or something along those lines. Not clear on how. I'm assuming that won't be the case, Cindy, because we're not going to let that happen, right? Because when people like Donald Trump and J.D. Vance and Ron DeSantis and Speaker Mike Johnson talk about the concerns and issues and slippery slope of socialism, we'll just remind everybody. What were you doing after Hurricane Milton? Who provided the relief? How were those awesome trucks paid for? Who provided the labor from blue California and certainly some other blue and red states, those 20 states, to come together? Who's paying for all that? Oh, yeah. We are. We the people. Don't forget that. 855-752-4842. Dr. Harvey K. coming up next.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX. John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next show, Rocker joins us for a Max Inc. preview.
And it'll be another Dumpster Fire Friday.
Join us.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 till 8.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this."
Just breathe. Hey. We're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.